بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 7th of June in the year 2021 الحمدللہ we're beginning the 12th week the 78th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu. And yesterday, I mentioned three other clear-cut reasons why the incident at Ghadir Khum could never be in reference to Ali succeeding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the proclamation at Ghadir Khum. And this is the place where only the residents of Al-Madinah were with him. If it was with regards to successorship, you would have made a proclamation during the farewell Hajj. The second is that 2 months after Ghadir Khum, he appointed Abu Bakr to lead the people in prayer. So why would he appoint Abu Bakr to lead the prayer when Ali was also present? And the third, from Ali himself in Sahih Bukhari, Abbas told him to go and ask the Prophet about the matter. And he said, no, I don't want to trouble the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why did he not say to his uncle Abbas, I've already been appointed, why do I need to ask? And yet there was none of this taking place. So these were three other things. And I also mentioned a report, which I'm going to mention now. So the question again, which goes through the listener's mind. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us guidelines for even the smallest of matters, such as purification and which hand to use to blow the nose. Then how is it possible that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have left such a weighty matter of his successor without clearly informing us? So this is a good question. So if somebody goes, how important is it for the Prophet to appoint a successor? Is it more important than knowing how to wash your hands? So you say it's right up there. So the question is, then why didn't he? A simple and most beautiful answer to this question is the report I mentioned, but I mention now the report. So Sayyidina Hudhayfa, the keeper of secrets, radiyallahu, he said, the companions once asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, law istakhlaft, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would that you appoint a khalif? He responded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنِسْتَخْلَفْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَسَيْتُمُوهُ أُذِّبْتُمْ وَلَكِنْ مَا حَدَّثْكُمْ حُذَيْفَةُ فَصَدِّقُوهُ وَمَا أَقْرَأَكُمْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ فَقْرَأُوهُ If I were to appoint someone as your khalif and then you disobeyed him, you would be punished. However, confirm what Hudhayfa tells you and recite what Abdullah recites to you. This is recorded in Tirmidhi, number 3838, in the chapter on merits, is Hassan, Ibn Majah, number 97, Ahmad in his Musnad, 5-382, Ibn Hibban, number 6902, Sahih, Hakim in his Mustadrak, 3-75, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Ibn Abi Asim in his As-Sunnah, number 1148-9, Tahawi, 2-83-4, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, 2-334, Khatib in his Tariq Baghdad 4-346, Al-Khalal in Al-Sunnah 1-275, Mishkat, Volume 4, Number 154, in the chapter on the companions in general. Shaykh Albani Rahmatullah Ali states Sahih in Sahih Al-Jami, Volume 1, page 254. So the reason I give you quite a few references is that to highlight this is a flawless report. So if anybody questions this report, try to remember a few of the references. Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, Hakim, and his Sahih all over the place. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? The divine wisdom why he did not appoint. If I did appoint and you disobeyed my successor, you would be punished. This is why he didn't explicitly appoint Abu Bakr Siddiq or any for that matter. And then he then said, however, confirm what Hudhayfa tells you and recite what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud recites to you. So simply put, it was an aspect of his unparalleled mercy that he did not explicitly declare his successor. And this befits Rahmatul Lil Alameen. So we say to the Rawafid, he is Rahmatul Alameen. He is the mercy to everything that exists. So if he appointed a successor and we disobeyed him, which you are making it out to believe, where's the mercy? We're all going to get punished now, according to your understanding. Or he did not appoint a successor. Now if you disobey, it's not as grave, which befits his station. So even logically you could work that out, but Rasulullah explicitly mentioned that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now they still persist. He goes, no, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Ali Mawla, which obviously means master or leader. Thus, this is a proof in and of itself that he was nominated. So they don't give up. Even though you've explained the context, you've given the wisdom, it doesn't mean he was succeeding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because look at the word he used. He used the word Mawla. Mawla means master. Whosoever's Mawla I am, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali is his Mawla. Ali is his master. Because what's all this commentary you're giving? The Prophet's words are final, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, is it true? Did the Prophet say that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he did. But just to give you the wording, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whosoever's Mawla I am, then Ali radiallahu anhu is also his Mawla. Where is this recorded? Tirmidhi, number 3731, Hassan Sahih. Ahmad in his Musnad 4-368, 4-370, 4-372. Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-109-10 states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. Ibn Hibban in his Mawarid number 2205. Tabarani number 3068. Ibn Abi Asim in his As-Sunnah number 1365-6. Al-Haytami in Majma Az-Zawaid volume 9 page 104 states Sahih except for Fitr ibn Khalifa, who is trustworthy. However, Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi stated Sahih. So some scholars have said it is a Hassan Hadith. It's not Sahih. Because there's a person in the chain called Fitr ibn Khalifa, but he is still strong. So the Hadith isn't Sahih, it's Hassan, meaning it's still acceptable. Shaykh Albani says no, it's Sahih. So we can't deny the report. So now we need to look at this word. The whole Hadith hinges upon that word Mawla. So let us look critically at what the scholars have said about this word. So Mawlana Manzoor Nu'mani, he said, rahmatullah alayh, this is in Ma'riful Ahadith, volume 4, page 429-31 of the New English Translation. So don't forget, he's the sheikh who's buried in Jannat al-Baqi. He said, some of the meanings of Mawla in the Arabic English lexicon, part 8, page 3061, by Edward William Lane, and he quotes. So these are some of the meanings. A lord, a chief, son of a paternal uncle or a relative, son of a sister, a freedman, a slave. Then I put in brackets. The other meanings in the Urdu text are an emancipator, the one who rewards, the one who is rewarded, the one who loves, a companion, a sworn friend, a neighbor, a guest, a partner, a son, an uncle, a son-in-law, a relative, a patron, a subordinate. So, which meaning is it? Then the Shaykh said, those, as is but obvious to those with any intellects, if such a word with multiple meanings is used in the Quran or Hadith, its sense and implication is brought out in the text itself, or the context points out to it. So if what the Shaykh is saying, stopping the quote, you've got all these meanings of Mawla. So how on earth do you know what the Prophet meant? Whosoever's Mawla I am, Ali is his Mawla. The Shaykh was, you can only understand the meaning of the word Mawla, context. What's the context? And I discussed the context. Then the Shaykh said, similarly in the Hadith under discussion, the context brings out the meaning of the word Mawla. Because what is the concluding dua? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be a friend to him who befriends Ali and be an enemy to him who is an enemy to Ali radiallahu. It is very clear therefore that the word Mawla is used in this hadith for friend or beloved. For friend or beloved. Why? Because the Prophet's dua. Whoever is a friend to him, you be a friend to him. Whoever is an enemy to him, you be an enemy to him. So the word Mawla, therefore here the Shaykh says, refers to somebody who is sincere to you, who is a friend to you, who is a beloved to you. Then the Shaykh said, then after the Holy Prophet's passing away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever happened is an undeniable proof of what we have just said. How? For not one out of the thousands of companions, not even Ali himself or those very close to him, none of them had taken the Holy Prophet saying at Ghadir Khum to imply Ali radiallahu anhu's succession, Khalifat or Imam. Think about that. When I was going through after the Prophet passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did any Sahaba mention this hadith of Ghadir Khum saying that Ali was appointed? Nobody said it. So how is it? None of the Sahaba is using that as a proof. And some enlightened ones now have worked out. No, that is a proof. The Shaykh is going, think, you know, use your akal. Then he said, if we accept the contention of the Shia, then the question arises, why Sayyidina Ali did not press for adherence to the Prophet's instructions? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a farad on him to get the Holy Prophet's will discharged. And if there was a confrontation, he should have taken a stance and used force. Did he? So if that is what Ali understood, I was appointed. The Shaykh goes, it was now farad than Ali to enforce this command of the Prophet no matter what. And like I mentioned the hadith the other day, he actually said that. If I was given the command, I would not have let the two children of Taym to stand on the pulpit. I would have fought them even without a helmet. But he wasn't given that. That's why he never put that forward. Then the Shaykh said, this is what the grandson of Hassan radiallahu, Hassan the third, rahmatullah alayh, had said to a man who subscribed to the extreme belief about Ali and cited this hadith of the Prophet in proof of his khilafat. So think about this. Hassan radiallahu anhu's grandson. So he's a Sayyid. Hassan is the grandson of the Prophet. Grandson of Hassan is the great great grandson of the Prophet. So this is Hassan. Hassan the third is called. Rahmatullah alayh. Somebody came to him and said, your great grandfather was definitely the Khalif, because whosoever's Mawla I am, the Prophet said it, Al-Ghadir Khum, Ali is his Mawla. Hassan the third responded, look at his response. If what you people say is true, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Ali as the Khalif after the Prophet, then Ali is the worst criminal, because he did not obey the Prophet's command. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, is that what you're calling my great-grandfather? A criminal? Where's this recorded? Bayhaqi, with many chains of transmission, some with additions, other with omissions, but the meaning remains the same. Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq 4-166, Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 2, page 197-8 of the English translation, in the chapter on the third generation of the Tabi'een of the people of Al-Madina, Izala Al-Khifa, volume 1, page 223. So imagine, even the descendant of Ali, Hassan the third, goes, you're actually insulting my great-grandfather. You made him into a traitor. Rasulullah gave him an explicit command. He goes, sorry, can't do anything. Then the Shaykh said, then as the man cited the prophetic hadith, Hassan responded, rahmatullah alayh. He goes, listen, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had appointed Ali as the Khalif, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have spoke clearly, unambiguously, as he spoke about salah, fasting, zakat and hajj. He would have said clearly, O people, this Ali is the ruler after me. Listen to him and obey him. This is recorded in Izala al-Khifa, volume 1, page 223. So Hassan the third says, did he say that? Imagine somebody goes to you, Rasulullah talked about Salat, but it's vague. Salat is like the sun. It's because there's five prayers in a day, brother. I'm not a scholar, but I'll tell you that now. There's five farads. Everybody knows why? Because it's clear. You had to have clear knowledge of that. But imagine somebody goes, no, no, I don't know how many rakats they are. Rasulullah has left us in the dark. He's saying six. He's saying three. Who do I follow? Something which is a fard, he will clear. So Hassan the third goes Salat, he made crystal clear. Zakat, crystal clear. Fasting, Hajj. And yet, when it comes to appointing his successor, he's using ambiguous words, not making things clear, confusing you. And he goes, therefore he's saying, it's not true. You've invented something here. So this is a quote from Manzoor Numani, rahmatullah alayh. Now another quote. This is in Fazail al-Durud by Sheikh al-Ahadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Kandahlawi, page 136 to 8 of the English translation. Now he's going through another angle of the word Mawla. No other than the Quran itself uses the word Mawla. Think about that. But each time Allah Ta'ala uses that word, it has a different meaning because the context. And then he quotes Imam Razi in his Tafsir al-Kabir, he discussed the verse in Surah Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Surah Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah 47, verse 11, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ. And verily the unbelievers have no mawla. Allah Ta'ala says that. The unbelievers have no mawla. Surah 47 verse 11. Then the Shaykh said, and he says in another verse, in Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6 verse 62, أَوْذِبُ اللَّهِ مَا شَيْطَانَ الْجِيمِ ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ. Then they shall be returned to their true Mawla. Then they will be returned to their true Mawla. Then the Shaykh said, now if it is to be asked, how do these two verses, how do you reconcile them? Because there's a contradiction. In one verse, Allah Ta'ala says, the unbelievers have no Mawla. It says that. In the other verse, he goes, they will return to their true Mawla. Contradiction. So the Shaykh goes, how do you get rid of this contradiction? The answer is that the word Mawla has various meanings. And he goes through the list. Then he said, hence, where we read that the unbelievers have no Mawla, the meaning to take is helper or patron, meaning they have no helper. Have you understood? So go back to the verse. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ. And verily the unbelievers have no Mawla. Meaning, there's nobody to help them. Mawla him is no helper. They're doomed. Nobody there. They're lost. Then the Shaykh said, and when it speaks of them returning to their true Mawla, it means they shall be returned to their Lord and Master. So go to the other verse. ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ. They shall be returned to their true Mawla. Mawla now means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord and Master. Then the Shaykh said, thus there is no contradiction. Further, it may be noted that where Mawla has the meaning of Lord Master, it only refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where it comes in the context of another meaning, it may not only be referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also to every person of rank. So the Shaykh is saying, yeah, the Prophet said, whosoever's Mawla I am, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali is his Mawla. So what does Mawla mean? And the guy goes, well, clear, isn't it? It's clear. Like, what does it mean then? Mawla means master. Because pick the dictionary up. Tell me what meaning it's got. Next minute, he's going through page after page. Servant, master, cousin, you know, the one that you love. Which one is it then? You're saying master. I don't agree with you. I picked another meaning. So who's right? And the Shaykh is explaining. Look at the Quran itself. Allah Ta'ala is using that word. And you can only come to the correct understanding by looking at the context. So simply put, where the word Mawla is used in the Quran and Sunnah, its correct meaning can only be extracted from the context of its usage, and it would be sheer ignorance, most dangerous, to persist with a meaning which does not fit with the context. Alas, if only the misguided Rawafid understood only this much. Thus, as has been shown, the correct usage of this vital term in the context of the mutawatir reports of Ghadir Khum is simply referring to the fact that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only trying to emphasize the eminent position, his love and utter trust of Ali, in particular with regards to his judgments in the house of Islam, and not successorship. Hence, now it is the duty of every believer to love our blessed Mawla exactly for that. Have you understood? That's the meaning of the word Mawla here. Rasulullah was basically saying, remember his great position. Remember how much love I've got for him. Remember, I have complete trust in him. Don't ever think anything other than this. That is the meaning of the word Mawla here. And I hope this clarifies this most important of matters. Now think about this. What did Umar say? Look at the greatness of Umar. Go back to the initial report. You know, how many sessions ago was that? When Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned, when he was given the great glad tidings, when Ali was given the great glad tidings, what did Umar say? He worked here straight away. Look what he said. Welcome, O son of Abu Talib. You are indeed, henceforth, every morning and evening, a wali, a friend and guardian of every believing male and female. Meaning, we have utter trust in you. We trust our walis. When you give your daughters away, the wali has to give the daughter away. Why? Because he's a person of trust. So Umar said, we understand what Rasulullah said. We have no doubt in your judgments. And look how beautiful. He never doubted Ali. There were some other people who doubted his judgments. But he just was the first to go out and congratulate him. And look at the words he uttered. Every morning and evening. Meaning till Qiyamah. You are the wali of every believing male and female. And that hadith, I don't want to give you the references again, is narrated by over 30 sahaba. In Nasai, Ahmad, Tabarani, Abu Ya'la, Bazar, Hakim, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Ibn Hibban. And you can check it. So this is the clarification of the hadith at Ghadir Khum. How many sessions did I spend on it? 4 or 5. So the hadith are easy to quote. But to this very day, they've made it into an Eid. Imagine, Eid Ghadir. What the heck is going on there, right? You know, you made it into an Eid as well. Party time, right? And they go, this is the day when Imamat was given. And they made it. What's Imamat? That's another invention of yours. So basically, Rasulullah is ma'asum, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He can't sin, he's protected. And he's appointed another person who's ma'asum. You might as well call him a prophet. Their belief is Ali can't sin. Imamat Eid Ghadir. Eid Ghadir, right? 8 days after Eid al-Adha. Imagine. So Eid al-Adha to them is like the starter. You know, you have a poppadom. Oh, this is a poppadom when Ibrahim sacrificed his son. That's a little poppadom, right? 8 days later, we got the Eid al-Ghadir, right? And there you go, you know, so, and Boli Bali Musliman don't know left from right. You go, Eid, what brother, right? I've heard Eid al-Malad al-Nabi, there's another Eid as well. How many Eids are there, right? Eid al-Ghadir as well, brother. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, right? But we say, yes, he was given this title. He is our Mawla. Rasulullah called him our Mawla. He is the wali of every believer. But this has got nothing to do with him becoming the Khalif after Rasulullah. And if you think that, you're playing a devilish game. Astaghfirullah. And all of the reports you can refer back to in the previous sessions. So thus far I've been through two hadiths. And look at how much commentary I've given. So you understand both these hadiths. The first, you are to me as Harun was to Musa, except there'll be no prophet after me. How many sessions on that? In Bukhari and Muslim, mutawatir hadith. Now the second hadith. Whosoever's Mawla I am, Ali is his Mawla, he's holding the hand of Ali, radiallahu anhu. And how many sessions to explain that blessed hadith? So note, when you hear these reports, try to remember, oh yes, yes, brother, we accept the hadith, but not your interpretation of it. And inshallah, we will discuss other reports about Sayyidina Ali, if he's still alive. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من شهد عن سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصل بالحق ونواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم